You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, your action plan for real estate success. Here, we stay ready. Staying ready is being mindful of time and actively doing the things on a daily basis so we stay prepared for the opportunities that come our way. Join your host, Emeka, as he dives into the world of real estate investing, interviewing experts and sharing actionable insights. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe today. We would love to know each and every one of you. So please go to GubanaEquity.com and click Invest With Us today so we can figure out how we can get to your investing goals.
So Steve, you know, tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Great. Thank you. So yeah, my name is Steve Velez. I'm Principal of Africa Capital, primarily focused on multifamily and real estate investment. I spent over 20, almost 25 years in IT, as well as dabbling a little bit in real estate. So that's certainly something I've looked at as getting into more of a hobby, but over the course of the last few years, it's something that I've really found to be not only something I find very interesting and intriguing, but also something I find to be very, productive and a really good business to be around. So it's something I've been putting more and more energy into. And I got a lovely family, happy wife, two kids that always keep me busy as well. So that's just sort of my family and business side.
No, I love it. So you said you were in IT and then you were dabbling into real estate and now you have, now you're investing in multifamily. So what clicked for you? What made you want to get into real estate in general?
I would say that one of the things that how I started was I'll say lucky, AKA smart enough to realize that as I moved from place to place, when I was living on my own, I was smart enough to kind of hold every place I had. And I just decided to rent. And little by little, I started to notice, I'm getting cash flow, and I'm putting X number of effort and getting a certain amount of return. And so it really started to open my eyes more towards what I kind of generally knew already, which is real estate was a nice place to invest in. Besides anything else I was already investing in, it was a good diversification play. But sort of by accident, I was already seeing it working for me because, like I said, I would choose not to sell. I would kind of just rent places I lived in and it was working out. And then when I started to really read into it more and study it more, I realized it's one of the few places where a relatively average person can kind of go in and find places to add value, increase valuation, basically increase your investment, but also it'd be on something that's so critical, like a critical need is a place for people to live, right? And so where I'm familiar with other asset classes, it's one of the few that you can kind of control to some extent how much value you can bring if you have a good business plan. And I think everything has its place, but real estate seemed to be the best place for me to, include my creativity and problem solving skills and sort of force the ability to have more value through things that I'm doing in those projects.
No, amazing. And you just briefly touched on it. So you said you were looking into other asset classes. What were those classes? And then at the end of the day, what made you think that or know that, real estate was better than the other ones?
Yeah. So, there's some bias that I'll say real estate's better, but I also think everything has its place, right? So if I look at my whole portfolio, I have investments in, in stocks, in mutual funds, I have a 401k, which is much more blended. I have multifamily, I have single family, I have ATM investments, I have some land. So, there's a variety of things that I think has its place. And so real estate for me is very much of a long-term game, which I can control. So I think my biggest thing is where I put my money for short-term game, medium-term game, and long-term game. And I thought real estate was by far the best because, when you pay attention to how your assets appreciate and they become much more of an asset and less of a liability, I appreciate that. And then I think I mentioned before that I'd like to have some control over where I think I can add some value. And, there's a lot of speculation that occurs in different asset classes and different markets. And so I feel that there's a little bit less volatility when it comes to some new product coming out, or the CEO of a company did something they weren't supposed to do, and all of a sudden, like, their shares go down, right? Whereas with a real estate, I can kind of, if I'm paying attention to the right market, and it's appreciating, and I add some good value to a property, I can, still recover or build my investment in a particular, asset class. So that's kind of where I saw the biggest value. It was a little bit more in my control for good and bad, right? Good decisions are my good decisions, and bad decisions are my bad decisions, but they're not the CEO's
I see.
problems with the press, kind of thing.
I got so no crypto, huh?
No crypto, no crypto. Like I've spent over 20 something years in IT, but they were all on financial services, and so it was one place where I didn't want to experiment. I think crypto has its place, certainly, but there it's very speculative, right? So it's kind of like I had a certain amount of money in speculative assets already, and I wanted to put things in other places over crypto, but it's just not for everyone.
For sure. So let's talk about your first deal. Was your first deal where you were just living in a home and then you moved and you just rented it out?
Correct. Correct.
I
Yeah.
got
That
you.
was my
And then you,
first. Yeah.
and then what were the numbers? Do you have any numbers? Because it sounds like it'd be pretty conservative. Yet, do you know like the returns that you made since you just kept it?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting. Like, I think if I think about that one asset, I was making maybe 5 or 6% on it, and then at that time I made the mistake of paying it
Cash on
off.
cash, cash on
Yeah,
cash, or
sorry, cash on
okay.
cash. Yeah, I made the mistake of paying it off, and then increased my cash on cash, obviously, but then my capital was in the asset, right? But then it actually started to increase in value. Right. And then so where it started to happen is I went from 5% to double digits. And then about, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago, or less actually, about 4 years ago, I refied it when rates were just unbelievable. And so I ended up pulling out about half of the equity. So it was fully paid off. Right. I was pretty much getting most of the cash flow because there was no debt service on it. I ended up refining half of the ca equity out, still making 7 or 8%, but the equity I pulled out, I actually put into another investment that's earning me 7 or 8%. So in reality, the mistake I made on paying off my loan too early, I kind of fixed by taking out new debt at very cheap cost of capital and reinvested that in something. I'm kind of hedging or arbitraging my rate against my return. So I think by now, if I add the two together, it's probably a blended rate of, maybe close to 10 or 11%, on
That's
something I bought 15, 18 years ago or something,
that's amazing. That's almost, I mean, it almost sounds like an infinite return if you refi, you're still making money off of it, and now you're making more money off the
it
equity that
is
you already had. So it's,
correct. It
that's
correct.
amazing. So you accidentally got a an infinite return, which is great. If you can go
Before I
back
knew what it
and
meant, before I knew what it meant.
I got you. But let's say you knew about real estate. And you started all over. What would be your way to get into, making nice returns?
I would say, I think doing what I sort of did closer to 5 or 6 years ago, which is be more deliberate about learning it, understanding it, going into it with a strategy as opposed to, like I happen to have saved the apartment where I live. I happen to have rented it, happen to do these things. And I think it was just smart, but somewhat lucky, right? But the reality is, I think if I went in with like better education and better actions and did it on purpose, right? I think then I would have made good mistakes, I would have made bad mistakes, and I would have learned, more from the next one. I think my luck in my first deal was great because it didn't scar me, but it also didn't really help me learn a lot more. So I think I probably would have, in which again, which is what I did about 5 or 6 years, just invest more time in actually learning how to make it happen on purpose on a more consistent basis. And then I think that's been what's been helping me over the last, 5 or 6 years.
That's amazing. And you said that you would have, started with more education. So what is the route you would tell the audience to start off with? What would you recommend for them to do if they listen to you right now and they have no idea where to start?
I probably have a few suggestions, but one is like get a good education, right? Find some place to go. And I'd say is by doing that, try not to fall into the pit of like just learning and not doing, right? Which is very easy to do. So learn and apply, learn and apply. You know, so I think just keeping that cycle going as much as possible. And then with that, usually probably what's even more important is getting around the right people. And that means joining a network or doing more networking on your own, as in going to meetups or joining a mastermind. I think it's really helpful because you can learn so much from other people than you can probably learn from like reading and watching YouTube videos. But also you start to become around people who are like-minded and, you know, have had maybe similar fears, right? And similar journeys. And that's going to help a long way. And then I think that the two other things I would say is to kind of like build your skills up, right? So when you're doing that, you get to learn what skills do I need to be well-rounded, because you're meeting so many people and you're starting to notice like this person's really good at that, and this person's really good at that, and I want to get better at these things. So I think I would say to start is once you start to learn a little bit more, you start to learn what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. And my suggestion is try to find the strengths you have that really apply to things that people often need, and just go all in on your strengths. You know, make your strengths even stronger so that you can kind of go in and add value. And when you add value, then you can use that as an opportunity to kind of build up on some of your weaknesses, right? Or areas for, you know, opportunities. And then the third thing, this is going to sound kind of maybe cheesy, but like I tell everybody this for anything, which is like learn ChatGPT, right? Because I think no matter what you do, it is always going to make you a bit more efficient and a bit more effective if you understand how to use it. And it is a small version, I think, of what's going to be coming in the future. And you're going to need to use some version of some of generative AI. But I think ChatGPT is a nice way for people to use to, you know, they're uncomfortable with how to structure an email to an agent or a broker, right? And sometimes all you need is a validation point, right? Well, like ChatGPT can help you with that, right? And oftentimes it can give you encourage, even if it's not like, you know, magically fixing everything and making you money, it'll just give you courage. So I think I really do tell people like just embrace, you know, technology, but I think ChatGPT is probably the most simplest version of that because it's very like kind of conversational based. That I think it could help you in just absolutely almost any way that you want. So face it, not fear it, is my advice.
I actually use Gemini. I use Gemini every single
Same.
day.
Yeah.
Every single day. It's amazing how far it's come. And I use it for work too. Like I use it for real estate when I'm looking up a market, 'cause with Gemini it's Google, right? It's a Google database. So like if I'm looking at a market or trying to figure out what's going on, I don't just rely on it. You can actually ask for its source and it'll give you the article, give you the
Yeah.
link. And I mean, if you're, let's say you're a capital raiser and you're trying to, promote your area, like it's you can find out a lot of information in 5 minutes just by simply asking it a couple of questions. So I agree
I
with you.
totally agree. Yeah. And I would have said generative AI, and I think more people would understand ChatGPT, but like any one of those, I think will always inch you forward a little bit more and just take advantage of it.
No, for sure. So above you have multifamily. So we talked about your first deal, which was, a house
Yeah.
that you were living in that you ended up, renting out. So where did multifamily come to the play?
Yeah, so that's what I was referring to about 6 years ago, that I really started to focus on, you know, building a portfolio. And I started to look at single family. And so I did purchase a single family home, and again, it's doing well, so no issues. But I just realized it wasn't really scalable. Right. So that was one thing. It wasn't scalable to me. It wasn't going to get me to where I wanted to go in the right amount of time. And the second was I like the idea, or in general, like I'm a problem solver, right? So I like the idea of, you know, solving problems and focusing on how to help build better things. In a lot of cases, that just means helps building businesses. And a lot of my career was focused on, you know, supporting and creating IT solutions for business lines that needed to solve real problems that occurred in financial services. And for me, I think multifamily gives you the nice mix of that, because each multifamily asset to me feels like its own business, right? It's got its own P&L, it's got its own opportunities to grow income and reduce expenses and create a better situation for people that live, in those apartments. And so for me, that was a lot more well-rounded, and it was easier than trying to figure out how do I stack up 10 houses and make the same cash flow in completely different markets, right? They're probably too far away from each other, even in the same market. Whereas with multifamily, I can kind of focus on one business at a time, stabilize them and kind of rinse repeat, my operations. So for me, it was just scale and, the fact that I felt like it was going to be more what I'm used to, which is kind of problem solving and, building a business or supporting a business.
Do you find that?
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
But it's harder to get into a multifamily deal than a single family deal. Like, what is the amount of work that you're putting into multifamily versus, single family houses?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think I have to caveat that with if we're in a vacuum and we take fear out of the equation, because I think fear and limiting beliefs is a big, big problem in either case, right? But I think if you start from a place that multifamily is always a team game, right? And if you surround yourself with the right people, I would say it makes sense to start in multifamily if you're around people who have some experience, you're around the right people, good partners, et cetera, because that's going to be everything, But I think ease-wise, I'd say I can understand people who like single family because they can kind of go make the leap by themselves, they're not dependent on each other, but they're more focused on being independent and solitary, I think, in some cases, versus no, we can take bigger assets and I can learn from other people much quicker. So I think if you take fear out of the equation and you're able to commit to sort of a team situation, I think multifamily for me is easier and more effective.
Oh, for sure. I'll tell you my little story in the middle of this podcast is, when I got into real estate, I wanted to make $10,000 a month. I don't know why, right? That's just the common number, so I decided. And the way I was gonna do it was to make $1,000 of cash flow per single family house per year for 10 years. And I had a house in Raytown, Missouri, so Kansas City. And I was making like $500. And it was a killer of a deal, like $500 cash flow. And, it was a burr, blah, blah, blah. I quickly realized that there was no chance in hell that was going to happen. So I found, the MIH mastermind and finally, decided that I need to be a team because I couldn't do everything myself. And I honestly feel like, it won't be for everybody, but it's almost easier to, scale up and get multifamily because I don't have to do everything. My strength is being boots on the ground, going to properties, talking to cities, making sure that the property manager and the contractors are doing what they're supposed to do. That is my superpower. And if people find their own superpower, they're able to do a lot more and scale a lot faster. What is your superpower?
I would say my superpower is I am an underwriter. So, I underwrite tons of deals. I want to say in the loosest terms, I enjoy underwriting. I enjoy teaching underwriting. But I'd say between that and, like I said, I like problem solving, which is sort of much more in the asset management space. But my biggest thing is, yeah, how to kind of get to the bottom of solution and, underwriting are my superpowers, right? And that's an example where that was a strength I saw I had because again, I grew up in tech, so these kinds of things are not, spreadsheets don't bother me. But I also ran like multi-million dollar, teams and supported multi, $100 million business lines. And so seeing P&Ls and financials and, how to help businesses grow, that didn't faze me that much. So for me, it just made a lot of sense for me to take my strengths and make them stronger and help people who didn't like to underwrite or didn't know how to underwrite, help them kind of move along further, right? And I would benefit from their strengths, over time.
No, I love that. And right now with this current market, right? I hear people talk about, there's a crash coming. It's a bad time to buy real estate. The interest rates are high, so you can't buy real estate for the next 10 years. What is your take on the best time to buy And what do you also think is going to happen in the market in the next 2 to 3 years?
I think it's interesting. I think I believe that the best time to buy is, this is going to sound really cheesy, but it's like when the numbers work, right? Because it's hard to predict when rates are going to go up and down. I could tell you what I think, but that may not change. But the basic math of kind of arbitraging between, the cost of your capital and your projected rate of return on a particular investment is what's going to tell you, is it worth going forward, right? So I see people doing, debt at, 10, 12%, right? Which sounds crazy, right? But they have pretty loose lending terms, so they're not in a tight bind. Like, they can extend. There's no fees on the end of it, right? And the deal's so good that they can make it work. When they could refi at 7%, and it's going to be a phenomenal deal, right? And so I think just paying more attention to the fundamentals, while not looking blindly at what's going on in the market today, because I think most of the problem in the market today is going to be around sentiment, right? So, like, how much faith does the market have around Fed rates and the housing market? And, like, in my opinion, especially like in single family, the biggest problem, at least, again, my point of view is the biggest problem in single family is not so much the rates, it's the affordability, right? Like, housing prices are relatively high and rates are, I would say, higher than decent place. So I think the market has a lot of challenges coming up. I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon, but I think 25 looks to be a much more productive year. But I hedge on what I'm saying, because I certainly don't want to encourage people to, like, just sit by and wait, but you got to make the numbers work, right?
Perfect. Like you said it earlier, right? It's about the fundamentals. And I'm in Florida, right? It's going to be completely different than deals in Kansas City. And I think too many people are watching and looking at the propaganda. And what I mean by that is the news. And if you deep dive, and I'm not going to get into it, deep dive in the news, like they usually have someone funding it who are trying to, project a certain thing. So how do you know, like, who to trust, who to believe in? We already came together that, it's team effort when it comes to real estate, if you want to go far. But how do we find these people to trust, and, what information, who do you go to, and what are you looking at for, data purposes?
Yeah, so I feel like there's this concept of sort of a mesh network, right? And so for me, that's like you meet as many people as you can. It's a numbers game, right? You meet as many people as you can. You eventually meet people that you connect with or come with a certain amount of experience or different experience that maybe you don't have in your network today. And they know one or two people, and they know one or two people, and you kind of build it that way. So for me, it's all about just keep meeting new people all the time and keep talking about what you're doing all the time, because someone's going to tell you. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and it was interesting because I thought they were new to multifamily. I mean, they said that, and so I was just kind of talking at basic levels, and then I ended up finding out that they were like a principal at like a fund manager, and they raised capital like in the hundreds of millions. Like, deals that I was talking about was way too small. And I'm like, here I am thinking that it's hard to find money sometimes, right? And so I think just by talking to people, you'll find that there's certain people you like, you connect with, you're willing to give, they're willing to give in the relationship, and then build that relationship. And they probably know one or two more people, right? And I think if you keep doing that enough, you start to realize, like, I like all these people, but these two, three people are really going to be good for this project because this project needs that kind of team. Right. Whereas another project might need a different type of team, but you know enough people to bring them in, and you have enough people to bounce ideas off of. Right. And like, I've learned a lot from talking to people about the market, and they have an opinion I've never heard of. And it sounds intellectual, it sounds intelligent. Right. I'm like, And I look it up more. Right. And I go home, I do some homework. They said something about this. I never knew about this. And I learned more. So I think when you build that group of people, just start to kind of build them out in concentric circles, right? And have a strong network. And a lot of this stuff is very, very subjective in some ways, but the information is still out there. You just have to weed through it, right?
If
The
you
best
can
information
give,
is hardest to find.
for sure. If you can give three actionable steps that someone can do today to get started into the real estate, what would they be?
I think it'd be what I said earlier, right? I would say, learn to play with some generative AI, right? Like I mentioned, ChatGPT. I think it'll just go a long way in anything you do. And embracing it again will help you push forward. The second would be find a community, right? And there are paid communities, there are other communities that you can kind of leverage, you know, networks, but join a community or a mastermind. I would shy away from like just pure training kind of programs, right? Because not because they're not good, but because sometimes it could let you just train and train and train and train, and you're not actually taking steps forward. But, you know, groups like Chicken Geno is like a training, is a network, there's a good support system there that it lets you, enables you for more action, or a mastermind, you know, like Make It Happen. I think MIH, they, that will surround you with the right set of people. And third, it goes back to what I said earlier. I would say, like, once you do those two things, once you start to like meet people and have the right community around you, then you'll start to understand like how your strengths can transfer into something. So I had mentioned earlier that there were things I was doing for many, many years in software engineering and IT and in leadership that are very transferable to multifamily, right? And so it's not about how much did I apply those skills in multifamily. It's more about how transferable are my skills and my strengths. So I think finding those strengths and really building them up and then advocating for those skills to other people, I think will go a long way.
I love it. And with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everybody the
Sure.
same three questions. Question one, what are the two books you recommend the aspiring investor to read?
So I might say three, but I'll say the one thing I like to promote is I do like Rich Dad Poor Dad. I know everybody talks about it, but I think if you don't have that mindset about finances in that way, I think it's a really good book to kind of start shifting your, it's like a paradigm shift of your financial mindset. If you have it already, then I think you're okay. You don't need it. But the two main books I would probably recommend is The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. I think that's a really good book because I think oftentimes when people are trying to get into something new, they lose sight of the things that they have been accomplishing along the way. So I think that's a really, really good book to read. And Atomic Habits, I really enjoyed in any facet of one's life because I think it really helps you understand how to break your own habits and how to build new ones. And we're all creatures of habits. And so I think that will drive majority of what we actually accomplish. So I think those last two are the books I would recommend.
Love it too. What has been the most impactful speech or lesson that's helped you in your career?
Yeah, so I'd say early enough in my career, I had a mentor who knew me pretty well, understood that, you know, I knew what I was doing, I was good at what I did, but at the same time, you know, I was pretty calculated, very introverted, you know, and maybe risk averse, you know, very risk averse. And I think one of the things I learned from them was, you know, he really taught me that true strength lies in being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Right. And so if you don't actually engage yourself in situations on a personal, professional level where you can push beyond your struggles, be uncomfortable on a pretty consistent basis where it becomes a norm, if you don't do that, you're often going to stunt growth at some point. Right. And so he really helped me understand that if I'm comfortable in a situation, I'm doing it wrong. Right. Or better said, if I'm uncomfortable in a situation, then I'm probably doing something right. And that helped me break through some own personal barriers, some own limiting beliefs. And I still need to think that way more. So, but it's just one of those things that's always stuck with me that if I feel uncomfortable, I got to really think about, is it me or is it something else? And if it's me, that means I'm doing a good job. I should keep being uncomfortable. And that, like I said, that goes on a personal level and a business level. It doesn't really matter.
If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Yeah, so this is going to be a bit personal. I would say that if I had to speak to anybody, I would probably want to speak to my father's uncle. Both my parents have passed. So, you know, I did think about my parents, but on a personal level, my father's uncle was literally the first person in my family that decided to emigrate here from my family's from Ecuador, South America. And so he decided to emigrate here. He brought his two kids here and he brought my father. And literally, that's the start of our entire family in this country, right? And so I think if I had to go back and think about, like, talk to him, I would have so many questions around how to grow up in like a third world country and then move to something like the United States. And then, you know, how did, you know, what were you scared of? What did you think of? What made you surpass those things and sort of And then looking back at the fact of saying, okay, well, now we have a few generations. My brother and I are first generation born here. And so looking back and saying, okay, like what we've accomplished in our lives is because of you, right? And so how would he feel? How would he react? And sort of, I'd love to kind of have that conversation about where he was at that time, right? And then appreciate all the things that have come out of that. It's kind of the gap in the game a little bit, right? Like I wanted to understand like what, how important I really was to even my kids, right? And so like that would probably be the conversation I look forward to the most.
That's amazing. And how can the audience help you? What are you looking for? How can people get in contact with you? Let's hear it.
So you can find me on multiple platforms. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram. You can see my, you know, barcode over here. You could find me at www.achkacapital as well. I'm always looking to meet new people. I'm always looking for creative ways to make deals. So anything you find that doesn't seem to work, I'd love to kind of take a look at it and either bounce ideas and help you work through it or even just, you know, partner up on it as well. I spend most of my focus on looking for assets in North and South Carolina. So, you know, anything those markets I certainly would love to look at, but you know, I'm very much open to looking at any markets, you know, in general.
Well, thanks so much, Steve. It was great to have you on and hope to have you again soon.
Thank you.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.